Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. I'm lucky enough to have been scuba diving in a few great locations, both here and overseas. One thing that's always surprised me is for a pastime so dependent on the environment, how little concern is given to its protection. This is particularly true of dive spots around coral reefs, where the environment is most fragile and the diving most popular. So, while I was travelling in Southeast Asia over summer, it was a pleasant surprise to find one dive operation trying to do things differently. But it's not always easy being green, especially in a country like Thailand. To find out more, I joined a three-day dive trip around southern Thailand's Similan Island Marine Reserve.
Deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, gliding down through the dark green water.
Similan Islands is famous for two marine environments in such a small area. On the eastern-facing coasts, you've got shallow bay areas, protected coral gardens, fringe reefs, sandy slopes. Generally, it's a bit more scenic. It's very colourful. On the other sides, you've got the boulder dives, and that's where we sometimes see the bigger fish. Leopard sharks, occasional manta rays, trevally, that kind of thing, the pelagic.
On the way down, he passed hundreds of trout.
That's Ben Stokes, one of the instructors on the liveaboard boat, giving a briefing to the divers. As part of the briefing, we're told about the Similan Islands, warned about the effects of using sunscreen and non-biodegradable soaps and shampoo, and told one of the most important lessons for any eco-conscious diver.
No touching of any kind. A lot of marine creatures have a mucus surface on there. Body. If you touch that, you're basically leaving a handprint on them, and that leaves it prone to infection and parasites and things like that. So we do have a no-touch policy. Also, again, like a small piece of coral, some coral takes 3 millimetres a year to grow, so if you knock that off, then that's gone. You could knock off 15 years just quite easily with your fin tip.
Trout are very valuable and immensely powerful.
From the US, Holland and France, the partners of Wicked Diving came together with a shared vision, one different from the way things have been done in the past, as our boat's dive leader Marcel explains.
I've been working on liveaboards before, and so did Paul and Philippe and some other people at the dive school, but we always promised ourselves, okay, if we're going to run a liveaboard, we want to make sure that we do good for the environment, and we also want to do good for the local people. We don't just want to come in here and start up a living dive school just to earn money. We want to be here for a long time, and I think that's the least what you can do, is do something back for the environment. And I think by keeping the impact as low as possible, we will be able to stay out there in the Similans as long as possible, and that's the idea behind it. The biggest advantage of running it yourself is that you can do it, because if you're working for someone else, you always have to convince the owners or the managers of a boat that this is the right thing to do.
Why should it be that the fish in the sea are all unable to sing?
Being part of a Wicked Diving trip means being part of the solution, not just by not using sunscreen when you're swimming, but actually getting out there, spending an afternoon picking up rubbish on an otherwise pristine white sand beach, and later doing the same underwater with a reef cleaner. I asked Marcel if passengers ever object to paying for the privilege of being garbage collectors.
I think it's completely up to the people, yeah? You can't really go wrong with a cleanup, yeah? I mean, it doesn't affect the trip schedule, we're not missing out on any dives, and people are free to join. Okay. If people don't want to join, I'm fine with that. Yeah. If people do want to join, I'm really happy about it as well. Okay. But I don't think anyone will come back and start complaining and say, like, ooh, these guys here doing beach cleanups and everything, and I didn't pay for that. You know, I paid to go diving. I think as long as it doesn't affect the schedule, I think people are fine with it.
What is the biggest threat to the sort of environments that we're diving in, the coral reefs? And that? Is it the diving industry and the divers themselves, or are there other factors at play as well?
I think it's a mix. I think fishing boats can do a lot of damage. Yeah, there's a lot of secondary impact that you never see. Let's say someone throws something overboard in the middle of the ocean, in the Atlantic Ocean, yeah, of a big cruise liner or whatever. Yeah, that bottle might float around all the way around the world and end up in the Similan Islands, for example. Divers themselves can have a negative impact as well. I mean, a boat has exhausts, yeah, and it sound as well, yeah. I heard that divers, it doesn't really matter if they're experienced or inexperienced, on an average they touch the coral accidentally at least a few times during a dive, yeah. inexperienced people as much as experienced people, because inexperienced people tend to stay a little bit away from it, a little bit more, because they're afraid to touch it. The experienced people go a little bit closer and they have to touch it. Yeah, we try to have a no-glove policy, so people don't wear gloves, because it tends to be easier than to hold on to things. Yeah, I'm really, really careful with people taking cameras down as well. Yeah, people are fine to take an underwater camera down if they show us that they're good and they're not breaking off or they're not sitting on corals while taking pictures. Okay, I'm fine with it. If they do, I'm sorry, the camera is going to stay on the boat. Yeah, I think it's those small things that make the difference between having an impact on the environment, a negative way, or just being there as a visitor and stay away from it.
As well as pollution and careless divers, the commercial taking of fish for aquaria has also had a big impact on the region.
They catch them with cyanide fishing. What they do is they blow some cyanide on the reef, which basically dazes the fish and everything. It stuns them, okay? And that's very easy to pick them off, okay? What the people don't realize that fish, those fish out of the water, is that the cyanide kills the coral straight away. That's around it as well, yeah? Anyway, half of the fish don't even make it alive to the destination where they're being sold, yeah, and then half of them don't even last the first month because there is the wrong temperature or the wrong salinity in the water and everything. Yeah, the majority of the fish, I think, that are in these aquariums must be caught because they're very difficult to breed in a confined space. Yeah, I don't think it's the problem of the local people fishing it out of the reefs. I know it happens in Bali, for example. I've seen the shops where they sell them, yeah, in Bali. And I don't think these people realize that much the negative impact because they don't have the education for it. And for them, it's a way of living, an income, of course, yeah, which is not easy in countries like this. I think the biggest problem is the demand. Demand in the Western world, people want to have an aquarium like that. It's a luxury hobby. And they don't realize that these fish come from the real ocean itself and everything.
And ironically, the movie Finding Nemo, which was about fish not being, shouldn't be in an aquarium, actually drove the industry for clownfish and whatnot up through the roof.
Yeah, I heard about, I don't know the numbers or whatever, yeah, but I heard about that all of a sudden every child in the States wanted to have a Nemo in his house and everyone went crazy for them as well, so.
Having made the decision to be green, the trick is to make it happen. And as Wicked partner Robin Hassan explains, that can be easier said than done.
It's not as easy to find as you would like it to be. It's definitely around. My personal background comes from the apparel industry and the action sports industry, so I have some experience in finding these things. There aren't as many factories that do small production here, so finding the right person is quite difficult. It took us probably between 4 to 6 months to actually source and have produced proper sheets for the beds on the boat in the right size and in the right material, as well as finding the organic cotton towels that go with it. In addition to that, there's always another step. For instance, we get everything laundered, and you don't want them to use bleach in non-bleached products. So it's an education process with our vendors as well.
So 4 to 6 months to find the sheets. I hate to think how long it takes you to find anything a bit harder.
Well, you just have to be determined. It may take you 2 months to find something. It may take you 2 months to hear back from them. And it may take them 2 months to actually deliver what you're asking for after a few tries. Just like in any production or in any sourcing, everything is a process. We believe that it's worth this time. And we believe that the effort is worth it. So we may have a lot of things going on that we're talking about that are still in the works on a constant basis.
With the credit crunch in full effect, especially in places where the tourist dollar is key, it's a brave move to take on extra costs. But Robin says Wicked take a long-term approach to such spending.
I think that anything that you do is going to have an impact on your bottom line, but it depends on whether you look at your bottom line for the 6-month period or for the 5-year period or for long-term. In the long run, when you're doing programs like this and when you believe things like this, it will always cost you more up front. It's just like using LED torches on our night dives and using rechargeable batteries. One pack of rechargeable batteries is more expensive than one pack of alkaline batteries. But you go through how many packs of alkaline batteries in a season. So it's about looking ahead and making those kinds of decisions and taking effect with them at the beginning of every one of your year, as far as spending goes.
Wicked's commitments aren't just environmental, however, and the company also takes an active role in its surrounding community.
We believe that we need to give back to the community that we live in. We're foreigners in this country and we're operating a business, which means that we're having an impact on the community. One thing that happens in this area, we're quite close to the Burmese border, And there are a lot of refugees in the area, including kids. So specifically, this will be the second year that we've sponsored a grassroots human, GHRE is what it's called, educational center for kids. Now, in Thailand, these kids have no rights, whether they were born here or whether they are full refugees that came here from Burma. And after the age of 12, there is no legal need to educate them. They're off to work. So what the school does is it enables these kids between 12 and 16 years old to continue with their education. So we go in and we sponsor them. We actually provide them with school uniforms so that they don't have to wear their work clothes to school. And as a whole, we're going in and educating them about the marine life that's around them that they probably don't know anything about, encouraging them to learn more about the ecosystem and about different fish, providing them with art projects and things along those lines. And every year we're expanding that program.
Is that rewarding?
It's extremely rewarding. We actually just went to the school yesterday, and it was amazing to go in there and then pass out all of the pictures and the books of fish and start teaching them how we talk underwater with the fish signs and to just see the smile on their faces. And they ask incredibly smart questions. They ask us questions that we didn't know the answers to, whether it's the genealogy of some kind of a fish or like how long do turtles live or how do they breathe. So finding out that information for ourselves is great, but being able to provide it to someone that's genuinely interesting is extremely rewarding.
And are they going to have a chance to go into the water themselves?
We're working towards that. We're working towards possibly some kind of a snorkeling trip out to the CERN or the Similan Islands. That's going to take some effort with some of the other dive operators in town. So our goal is to try and make that happen by the end of this season, and if not, it will happen at the beginning of next season.
And if you'd like to learn more about what Wicked gets up to over in southern Thailand, go to wickeddiving.com. Coming up after the break, we hear the sweet sounds of the Sami Sisters.